All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, and this is episode 10. Should have been a potty. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this week, we're actually physically in the same room together, actually recording the podcast.
In our kitchen.
In our kitchen. Because Mom's cooking.
Grits. Yum.
Oh, you guys don't even know. It's so good.
And for those who go, you know.
Exactly. Grits. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But Dad's out here chilling with us as well at the table because we were outside. We're a little raspy, a little hoarse, a little tired.
We were partying until the break of dawn.
Literally.
Yeah,
like about 5 a.m. before we came in.
Well, I came in before you, but you all were having a party.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a party. Gotta tell you, it was pretty fun. There was drinks. There was dancing.
There were fires.
Yeah, a few things caught on fire. Because, you know, it's not a party until a party, until something catches on fire.
Or somebody gets their eye poked out.
Yeah. But we really don't encourage the eye gouging.
Yes, please
so
don't
just
do
light
it.
Fires. Pyromaniacs, we love ya. But I guess we got to handle some business first.
Yes, let's handle the business.
So the first thing is we got to do the sweepstakes that you can enter at www.electricsisterhood.com. If you go to the Hit Us Up link. You can fill out our form and enter to win candy. Or, as we're giving away this weekend, a t-shirt.
A t-shirt.
So, I've got to deviate a little bit and go, hey, Tookie, you got a t-shirt, bitch! Actually, that sounds pretty bad. We should come up with something else when we give away a t-shirt.
Well, yeah.
Especially if it's a girl.
Yeah, because we sound like we're being derogatory.
And we're not being derogatory.
We're not, because we love you.
Yeah, you're getting a t-shirt. You're getting the first free Electric Sisterhood t-shirt. So, yay! Oh.
I'd be much more excited, but I'm coming off of the party.
Yeah. It'd be more fanfare, but for now.
Yay, you're getting a t-shirt.
You're getting a t-shirt.
Woo.
It's a free t-shirt.
You don't have to pay.
Exactly. So we'll be sending you an email so you can send us your contact information and we can get the shirt out to you and then you can take a picture and send it back to us so we can show you we're in the shirt and it'll be all cute.
And obviously you have to give us your shirt size.
Yeah, that would help.
Because one size certainly doesn't fit all anymore.
No, because otherwise the shirt that we would ship out would be an extra large just to be on the safe side.
Always wear it as a pajama shirt.
Exactly.
But then no one would see the awesomeness of a shirt.
If you want something smaller, say that in the email that you replied to us at. Also, if you want to enter our sweepstakes, you can call us on our toll-free number, or if you have a question or comment and just want to send out some love, you can call us at 1-888-333-8985 and leave a message. We get them. We listen to them.
We respond to them.
Yes. Yes,
it's not like we ignore you.
No.
We like sit at our computers going, ooh, who's going to respond to us next? Ooh.
Did you see the new one from so-and-so?
Yeah, literally, we do that,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, we do. We're crazy like that. Oh, sounds like some food's getting ready to be done, people.
Mmm.
I'm hungry, too.
Well, it's breakfast time. Why wouldn't you be?
I don't know. Last little business, we got to give a shout-out to some of our overseas visitors.
Because we're getting them.
Drum roll, please. Shout out to Belgium. They've been coming in strong. We've got like 16, 17 people hitting the site on the regular from Belgium.
Wow.
They make great chocolates.
They should send me some waffles.
Yes. Waffles and chocolates, people.
Waffles.
And chocolates. Nothing more to be said. With that, I think that takes care of all the business. Do we have any other business?
I think that's all the business that we've got to business.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week should be an interesting week, people, for business, but for this week, I think that's it. So, I get to turn it over to you. Take it away.
Hey, guys. I'm going to backtrack a little bit, and I'm not going to throw out anything new. I was going through my collection, because Lord knows I have one.
Oh, yeah. You think?
And I had been talking to, and now I'm going to make a game reference, but only for a little while. I was talking to a couple of my guild members on WoW.
Oh, here we go with the Warcraft.
And we were talking about anime,
oh,
so there we go.
Good. That's nice.
And a couple of them were hitting up the site, so props to you guys who've been doing that. Thank you. Keep coming. Post to me.
Yeah. She likes attention.
And a lot of the guild members, like some dark anime, and I don't just mean, you know, the characters in it are dark. They just mean the whole element of a darker anime. The something movie. That makes you think a little bit more than just, you know, battling stuff. Oh, the hero wins. There you go. So
don't forget all the upskirts.
You don't find too many of those in the darker stuff, to That's be honest. True. You don't find that much no. fan service.
That's true.
But That's a lot of them kept bringing up Lane, Serial yeah. Experiments Lane. It was one of the first collections I got on DVD because a good chunk of my stuff is still in VHS.
Yeah,
not that I have a VCR. Not that I have a VCR to play them. But when Lane came out, I gobbled it up because it's only a 4-disc series, 13 episodes. Now you kind of think 13 episodes probably wouldn't be too much to get out of story.
Right.
But Lane does it. I think Lane is one of those series where you watch all 13 episodes at once and you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like, I don't get it. But then, you know, you leave it alone for like maybe 4 months and then you go back and you watch it again and now things begin to make sense. Like, I understood Lane much better than I understood Utena because I finally just got my last arc of that and watched it and I was like, ooh. My brain was hurting. I had to take a Tylenol.
Okay, so is it easier to understand Lane than it is to understand something like Neon Genesis?
You know, we were having that debate on well. I think for those who have a better grasp of computer work, you know, computer-esque stuff,
uh-huh.
would probably get some of the concepts that are going on in this anime a lot better.
Okay.
Than, you know, where, you know, we really can't sit there and go, man, I know how it feels to have my own Ava and have to battle angels every Tuesday and Thursday.
Right, obviously. You know, but my mech's in the shop, to be honest with you.
But, you know, I think everyone could kind of relate to a, you know, a girl who lives in a family who kind of ignores her. And, you know, she gets swept up in the whole technology, the revolution, you know. Oh, everyone's doing things on their phones. Oh, everyone's got new computers. Oh, what does this do?
Right.
You know, everyone kind of gets into their own obsessions. Why else would we be here talking to you? This is
yes.
kind of, anime and gaming is kind of an obsession. I know for me, I should get into a program.
I'm in one, but I keep falling at step one. I just can't make amends.
So, with that said, I think this one, on that point alone, where people can relate to the protagonist in the story, it's a lot easier than with things that we haven't even experienced yet, like okay. the giant mechas. It's quite dark because, you know, you get this young girl, you know, very quiet, very, you know, detached. You know, she doesn't really, you know, interact. She only interacts when spoken to, you know. But if she's not being, you know, spoken to, she really doesn't interact with people.
Okay.
You know, her family life, you know, it looks kind of normal. She's the youngest daughter. You know, there's a mother, a father, and an older sister. You don't see the older sister until, like, a couple, like, 2 or 3 episodes towards the end, where they do kind of a sub-story where you see what's going on with her because she's starting to realize that something's going on with Lane.
Okay.
You know, and then something really freaky happens to her. Like, the things that go on in this series, like, they're not the natural progression. Like, you know, she has this old computer that, you know, she hardly ever used. And, you know, and one day out of the blue, her father's like, oh, I should get you a new one.
Okay.
You know, and he gets her this new one and she's learning how to use it, you know, and she's just drawn to it. Like, she stares at the screen a lot, you know, and you're kind of wondering why, you know. And then the girls at school start talking to her and approaching her more and like, oh, we need to get you out, you know.
Right.
And they do the club scene, you know. And it's if you look at the way that this character is set up, you know, the club scene is definitely not for her.
Not the place where she would be, right.
You know, and, you know, you start seeing that she slowly starts, you know, growing, you know, and starting to interact with people and talking to people and enjoying, you know, what seems to be a normal life. You know, but then her connection with her computer starts, you know, coming up more and more. And, you know, she's staying home more. She's doing more on the server. She's,
so would you say that she's more kind of introverted?
Yeah.
Because of that and isolating herself?
Well, she was already kind of isolated from the beginning, but then she kind of branches out when she starts getting more familiar with the technology.
Okay.
Because, you know, she starts getting text messages on her phone from a classmate named Alice, you know, who is trying, who wants, you know, Lane to feel more accepted, which is why she invites Lane to go out with them, you know, and, you know, when more Stranger Things begin to, you know, occur, you know, Lane gets home, you know, there's nobody home, you know, at the hours when people are home, No, and then she just spends more and more time in her room, and she becomes more extroverted.
Okay.
When she gets this new computer, and, you know, you're kind of trying to figure out, well, what's, you know, there's a cause for every reaction, so she's becoming more open. She got a new computer, but what's the deal? You know, and, you know, she starts seeing these men in black who are kind of roaming around, watching, but not really interacting, and she doesn't know why. You know, she doesn't go up to, you know, one of them and say, hey, why are you following me? But, you know, she notices that they're following her around.
Okay.
And they don't get it. You know, and, you know, she starts getting fed up with her new computer because it doesn't work fast enough. You know, and when you first see her, you don't think that she'd be technologically inclined.
Okay.
Or computer inclined.
So she's not drawn like a traditional computer geek girl?
Yeah, no. Okay. She's just regular, you know, skirt and top, you know, just hanging out.
Okay.
You know, you got your hardcore geeks, you know, who have the elite language, who wear the shirt, you know, you can tell. But you couldn't tell with this girl at all. And she starts, you know, modifying this Navi that she has, because that's the name of the computer, it's a Navi.
Okay.
You know, she starts taking it apart, and you'd think she'd be like super SD form, like, oh my god, what am I doing? But no, it's like, it's an innate sense that she knows. And she starts, you know, going into the Wired, which is the World Wide Web.
Right.
You know, that's what they call it in this series, you know, and she's doing much more, you know, and she hears about this rumor about these knights, who are like these top, like, it's a hacking group, supposedly. And no one.
So is it like Dot Hack?
No, because it's not like they're in like an RPG where they're all interacting.
Okay.
She's like connecting to the Wired itself.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's not just like, oh, I put on a screen name and I'm online. She's like in it.
So kind of like
she like manifests
Ghost
a form
in the shell.
In that sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, she like integrates into the system.
Okay.
And so she's trying to get all this information on these knights because, you know, now she's starting to get that whole ego, like, you know, I could do this with, you know, when I get brand new heat, you know, cooling vents, and I could do that. So who are these knights? Who do they think they are?
Right.
You know, so she's trying to figure out, she's doing information to try to figure out who they are because no one knows who they are, you know, and they are kind of sticking their foot out, trying to, you know, feel around for her because they realize that she's, someone's coming up to their ranks and their speed, and they're like, well, who's this person? And who do they think they are? You know, and she's demanding to know who they are. And at one point, you know, the house gets really dark. The drawing in this, you know, at first, you know, it's quite light. I mean, you got your neutrals. Like, they don't give you any flashes of color because they want to give you the atmosphere.
They
want to
make it very subdued.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's kind of her mannerism. She's not really vibrant and colorful like you see in most anime. She's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a chair. Then when she starts getting more and more, you know, extroverted, you know, when they start going to more clubs, you see dashes of more colors.
Okay.
You know,
so they use the color to paint the scene, basically.
Yes. Okay. When you start seeing sharper colors, it's like, well, why? And, you know, if you're a big symbolism freak, then this is definitely an anime for you because there is so much symbolism going on. I'm going to give it a little bit of a spoiler to it, though, because, you know.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
She's not particularly human.
Oh,
you know, you think she's this human, you know, who just happens to be an odd duckling, but she's not. She actually is a program.
What?
Yeah, because there's a couple of scenes. If you're one of those dorks who totally likes, you know, seeing girls, you know, modifying things with wires all over them and stuff, then, you know, there's a couple of episodes where there's some scenes where she's like hooked up, like she's connecting wires to herself while she's in front of her computer. Like, it's a little twisted. And you're kind of going, wouldn't that hurt?
Yeah.
You know.
Let me just check in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, and the funny thing is, everyone in her house is in on it. The father, well, father, quotation marks, he worked for a company. And the company, I believe, made the program.
Uh-huh.
After a certain time, it would start to activate. And at that point, him, his wife and the daughter, who we thought, you know, is Lane's sister, would house it, you know, and keep it around. But
so it's basically like that old school movie Darrow, where they make the robot look like a little boy and he has feelings and stuff, but then he figures out that he's a robot.
Well, she doesn't figure out. I don't think she really understood that she was a program at the time because, you know, she gets to the house. The house is empty except for her room. And the father's just like, yeah, paraphrasing, yeah, we're leaving. You're not coming.
that's nice.
Doesn't explain to her why. And at this point, because, like I told you, there are some sub-episodes where, you know, you see the older sister kind of doing her own thing, you know, and kind of observing Lane from the outside point of view instead of hers. And the girl goes kind of cuckoo and goes missing for a couple of days, you know, and they don't really give too much of a insight as to why, but she's kind of deranged after she comes back. Because, The oldest daughter, you know, not doing too well in school, hanging out with the wrong crowd, partying all night.
Yeah.
You know, she goes to the club.
Sometimes you gotta go to a club.
She goes to this club. It's one of these nights where Lane and her friends are there, but Lane's not acting like the Lane she knows at home. The quiet, subdued, you know, can I please have a glass of water?
Mm-hmm.
Because for some strange reason, when she becomes more extroverted, when she's out, she starts acting out.
Okay.
You know, it's like a dual personality type of thing, but she's not really aware of it. Because for some reason, she's not aware of that. While she's at this club, she knows who the DJ is, and he gave her this disc. You know, and there's these younger kids who think they're just, you know, there's these badass kids who are too young to be in there, but mm-hmm. are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Who are all talking about, yeah, I was hanging out with the knights, and you know. And at first, she's like, I didn't even know. She's like, I know you. And they're like, Lane, shut up. We totally know each other, you know. And like, she doesn't know. Because mm-hmm. that's that program side of her that's coming out. You find out that the true creator of the program is integrated into to the world that she's in. You know, in the last episode, because if you really kind of just watch this in a happy mood, you're not going to understand anything. I honestly recommend that you kind of be in a reflective state when you jump into this, because maybe you'll hit base fast enough.
Okay.
But the guy who made Lane, the true creator of Lane, after he made her, kind of went cuckoo and killed himself, jumped in front of a train.
That's a little bit of an owie.
Yeah.
You can't just put Bacitracin on that.
No, he also had a big hand in creating The Wired.
Oh.
So he thought, you know, I'm the creator, I made you, I made The Wired, subdued, you know, succumb to me. You know, but she was all like, fuck you, dude.
He went fuck nuts?
Yeah, and she kind of, you know, dissimilates the creator within The Wired, which is kind of funny. So in a sense, she kind of becomes the Wired. Everything in the world that she had before she became like this elite program-esque type of thing, you know, she, you know, kind of dehinged from all of her friends. The ones that were trying to be friends with the girls that I had mentioned, I think Alice. She had found out that Alice was having fantasies about their teacher and tortured her about it. You know, and
what do you mean tortured her about it?
Well, you see, there's an episode where, you know, Alice is sitting at home and she's kinda having, you know, thoughts. You know, girls will do that when they're by themselves.
Hey, you know, you can't be held accountable for really what runs across your mind.
No. You know, you kinda have to pay attention to the symmetry, because, you know, you see her sitting there, but then all of a sudden, you know, the edges of the screen kinda get foggy, like you're in a dreamlike state, so you know you're seeing what she's thinking.
Okay.
You know, and she's up close to this teacher's face, and they're just talking bad, and all of a sudden you hear, like, this noise, and Alice snaps out of it, and there's Lane, like, hunched over on her bed, kind of in this prowling-like position, and she's just like, I know what you do. We all know what you do when you're by yourself. Like, and you're touching your, and, you know, and she's, like, mentally probing into Alice's mind. Now, mind you, Alice is home, so it's not like anyone's there, but, you know, I think Alice felt threatened that someone was calling her on it. Because you really wouldn't tell from the anime, you know, Alice's connection with this teacher, you know, is very teacher-student related. You don't even really know that she had this crush until this episode where you're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Okay.
By the end of it, you know, Lane is just like, this is all fucked up. The life I had before, you know, I didn't do too much, you know, and when I finally, you know, someone came in and accepted me, I went and fucked them over. Because after that, Alice stopped talking to Lane,
mm-hmm.
you know, for fear that Lane would tell people.
Right.
So she thought, hey, you know, now that, you know, I've kind of dissimulated the system, you know, and I am the system, I should be able to manipulate it however I want. You know, and that's what the last disc in the series is called, Reset. Because she goes and she pretty much reset the world of The Wired. It pans out to, you know, the world, and you see Alice, and she's older. Her hair is longer. She's not, like, super old, but she's, I'd probably say, maybe her last year of high school.
Okay.
You know, because I think this kind of takes place, like, in their sophomore-ish year. They don't really tell you.
Okay.
And, you know, and she's walking around, I want to say, maybe even Shibuya, because that's, like, the shopping district over there.
Right.
It looked like a shopping district, so I'll say Shibuya for lack of a better place. And she's walking with this guy who I think is the teacher. They don't really give you you know, he always wore this jacket, and it's the same color jacket, but they don't really let you see the face. Okay. You know, and she's got her arm, you know, locking arms, and she's talking to him, and she sees this girl, and was about the same age that Lane was, and had the exact same face, and, you know, and kind of stared at her like, I know her, but I don't know where. You know, and Lane's just kind of watching, you know, and Alice walks off, and that's kind of the way that the story ends.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. So,
you know, I hate animes that give you all kinds of questions and no resolutions whatsoever.
All the answers are in here. It's just one of those things where you either have to be really in a reflective state.
Or really drunk.
I watch this stuff in the happiest mood possible, which is why I have to watch it over and over once in a while to remember if I'm getting everything right.
Okay.
So, I would say if you like brain teasers, if you're into computers, if you're into chicks who are into computers, watch Lane.
Okay. Do you know if that's in a slim case collection or not?
I don't believe it's from Pioneer. I don't know if Pioneer has gone to Slim Fits. I think that's only ADV.
That might only be ADV.
Right now. But Lane's been out for such a long time, I wouldn't be surprised if they are cheaper now.
Okay.
Because when I got these, I was paying $30 a pop.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Do you recommend rent or do you recommend buy?
Like I said, if you're a big computer whiz, you know, or like chicks who are computer whizzes and you like something dark, this is something I suggest you buy.
Well, and it's only a 4-disc set, as you said before, so it's not a huge investment.
No. It's not as bad as other things I've collected.
Shigigi.
Yeah. 56 episodes, and that's only the first two arcs.
Yeah.
But I think the person who made Lane, this person also made Haibani Remini, which also has a darkness to it, but there's no computers in it.
Never heard about it.
I have it. So
why am I not surprised?
It's good. I might do a post about it, actually.
Oh, that would be nice.
I need to do another one. For people who like to go on a mindfuck, then yeah. This is definitely for you. If you're more of a happy saccharin, because we know I like to use saccharin when things are overly sweet and too cutesy and overly SD all the time.
Yes.
Then this is definitely not for you.
Okay.
And,
so,
yeah.
Haters beware.
Haters of the dark, reflective stuff, beware.
Okay.
Beware. Excellent. But everybody else, enjoy it. And if you watch it and you find that you're really, really confused, you know, don't think you're the only one, and just be grateful that you didn't watch Utena first, if that's the case.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all I've got for you guys today, which means I get to pass the mic back to you, Ninja.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Well, I guess I get the mic back.
Yes, you do, because now I'm going to eat my grits since you were eating while I was doing my thing.
Oh, yeah, those grits was good, girl.
Don't rub it in. Just do your thing.
Rub it in like a topical cream?
Okay. Well, do it. Do it up.
That's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
Well, since you covered the anime stuff so well.
Thank you.
And you know how much I love to be hating on Sony these days.
Yes. It's your second job.
Yeah, it really is. Because they just keep putting their foot in their ass. So, you know, I have to tell them.
Well, how far is the foot this week?
It's so far out that you're actually be able to see it behind their teeth.
Whoa. That's pretty far up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely going to need lube to get it back out.
Ouch!
Yeah.
I hope they got good insurance.
Where do I begin, Pandalicious? Where do I begin?
It's usually the beginning.
All right, well, let's start with the first step. This week, your friend and mine, Sony, trademarked their remote controller for the new PS3.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Nintendo trademarked Wii for the system, and most people are going around calling it the Wiimote.
Well, that sounds cute.
Well, it's cute, and it fits, because it's a system, and, you know, Sony put that tilt sensor in theirs and took out the force feedback, so they wanted to trademark our name, too, for theirs. So they trademarked it Poos.
Poos.
Yeah, as in multiple poo, as in more than one poo.
Well, what, as in capital a stinky P, piece of poop?
As in a cock-a-de-poo-poo.
No.
Yeah, capital P, little O, big ass. Poos. I don't know what the hell it stands for.
They better tell us.
Some people are like, oh, well, the little O's in the middle are supposed to stand for an infinite sign, and then the P is for play, and the S is for station. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. So I went to Kotaku, because you know how much I love going to Kotaku, because they just break it down over there. And he had pictures of the trademark logo. And it sure as shit as I'm sitting right here next to you is poos. I said, Sony, are you out of your mind?
Apparently they're out of their mind.
POS I could understand because pretty much Sony's treating everybody like a piece of shit right now. So, you know, why not market it? But no, it's like all the good names are gone for systems. That's all I can figure. Because they're just crazy. I mean, weird. Who wants to be rolling around with Sony poos?
Yeah, I know. Sorry, that just makes me want to, like, go in the bathroom and drop a juice.
Do you really
want to,
you know... I mean, just...
No offense, Deuce.
No, Deuce, we love you. Not you. Not that kind of Deuce.
Not that kind of
Deuce. Yeah, no. But, seriously, do you want to invite your friends over and be like, yeah, you know, I got some poos controllers and we can get down on it? No, I don't think you really want that.
No, I don't.
No.
I would rather say, hey, grab my Wii. Let's be at it.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the first little bit. And I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can go to the Kotaku page and actually look at it because it's just... It's ridiculous.
It is.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, if you've been to the website this week, you might have noticed a post that I did called More Money, More Money, More Money.
So who's got more money?
You're going to have to if you want to play the PS3 and the games. Because there was an interview done with Kaz Hirai.
Mm-hmm.
The president at Sony Computer Entertainment America.
Yes.
And they were asking him how much the Sony PlayStations were going to be. Because, you know, originally when Sony was talking about the system coming out, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, the games are going to be less expensive because we have this great technology. We can put more data on the discs. And so that's not going to be the problem. Because people were starting to get a little antsy at dropping, you know, $50 and $60 for new game titles.
Yeah, I know I am.
So, Mr. Hirai was asked, you know, well, how much are the PlayStation 3 titles going to be at? And he kind of hinted around the bush. And basically, he was like, well, you know, we don't want, and it's not fair for the consumer to expect that, you know, games are just going to double in price. I mean, we wouldn't do that. So, you know, games aren't going to be $100. You know, and the price point of $59.99, you know, it's really not the price point that we're at because we're doing so much, we're putting so much technology and power and processing power behind it. So what I can say is that that gamers should not expect and consumers should not expect to pay $99.99 for a game title.
How about $98.99?
And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, what should we expect? Because there's a whole lot of price points between $59.99 and $99.99. And if it comes to a point that a game is $69.99 and I have to choose which games to buy, I'm only going to be buying a couple of games a year. And damn, they better be really good.
Yeah, I know. Or GameStop will be like, I'll be like, I'm trading this back. And what do you got for the Wii?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was really thrown back by that, and I just immediately had to put something up because I just feel like Sony is no longer in touch with its consumer base. Like, years ago, Sony used to make the best products on the planet because they actually listened to what the consumers wanted and gave that to them in high quality. You want high quality video on cassette tape? Well, there was Betamax. Unfortunately, because of the way they wanted to do the licensing, nobody did Betamax. Everybody knows that Betamax video looks 10 times better than VHS video. But because of the licensing, nobody did it.
Oh.
Okay. Everybody knows that Sony makes the best CD Walkmans.
Yes, but they do. I own three.
You know, but they miss the mark on their portable digital music player because they require you to take your music and turn it into that proprietary 8-track format, which isn't as versatile as MP3 because you can only play it on their players, so you can't take it to your computer and run it off your computer very easily.
Sounds like trying to make people selective or isolated into just their products alone.
And, you know, I could understand that because, you know, every company wants to be the top dog in their field, and they want to be the one stop that you make when you think of buying a particular product. I understand that. But Sony's gone so far to the other side of the spectrum that the fact that they don't realize that they are alienating their consumer base, that they are outpricing their consumer base,
yes,
and keep going on with it is the thing that just blows my mind. I'm just like, are you fucktards insane? Your audience, the main gaming audience, let's face it, is the 14 to about 38 now, they say, game range. Now, at 14, did our mother buy us $70 video games?
No.
So, who in their right mind, when they're paying $3.25 a gallon for gas, is going to drop $140 to buy their kid 2 video games for their $600 video game system.
I think the kid should be lucky that the parent got them the $600 console.
I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of parents getting their 14-year-olds a $600 console.
I know my mom's not going to get it from me, and I'm going to be 22 tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay? So it boggled my mind, because I thought that I really had to be reading it wrong, and unfortunately, I was not. I thought, well, the news couldn't get any worse, right? I mean, Sony, they can't put their foot any further up their ass. If they do, it's going to come out of their eyeball sockets.
Well, if it's down in their throat now, wouldn't the foot kind of eck out and touch
their
nose?
Well, if you arched your foot back, then it would actually start traveling back up that canal way, and it could, you know, hook on the nose, or actually, if they were successful, go all the way up and pop out from your eye socket.
But regardless,
They go one step further. Week's not over. And what happens?
What happens?
I was bopping around the net. You know how I like to go to Ars Technica and read all the stuff that they got over there, right?
Yes.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, reading this article, and there's a quote from Sony that reads, "Every time we go down a path, we book behind, and they're right there. We just can't shake these guys. I wish they would come up with some strategies of their own, but they seem to be going down the path of everything we do. If you look at their strategy in other business areas as well, they tend to do that." Now, basically, this was one of the higher-ups, I think it was a vice president at Sony, who was talking about Microsoft, because Sony was basically trying to make it out like, you know, they were the trailblazers in the video game industry, you know, that nothing existed before them, and that Microsoft was basically just copying them and everything that they did.
Okay.
And do. And unfortunately, that's not the case, because they were talking about, you know, the actual control that they came up with, because everybody's just lambasting Sony for making it, for appearing to just boost everybody else's good ideas.
So, you know, let's wait and see what the others do, and then if it's really good, we'll take it.
Exactly. You know, they couldn't get their online gameplay to work like Xbox Live for the PS2. I mean, say what you want about the Xbox if you don't like the system or not, but Xbox Live is the best incorporation of an online interaction for users that there's ever been. I mean, it's just so easy to set up. It's so easy to keep paid up. And it actually works. You know, and so basically Sony took that model, put a couple of tweaks on it, and that's the model that they're going to use for the online gameplay for the PS3.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, they're just, you know, still what Microsoft did, because they couldn't get their own thing working, and that was that. And then next, you have Nintendo putting that motion sensor in the Wiimote, and everybody laughing it off until they got to E3. And then you get to E3 and see the remote in action, and the game's in action, and everybody's like, oh my god, that looks like so much fun. So what happens? Sony revamps their controller, and now, oh, it's got a 6-way motion sensor as well. And it's wireless as well. And we went back to the original shape because the boomerang, you know, I call it the batarang, was kind of uncomfortable. And then they put in a 2-tier gaming system like Microsoft, so they have a core system and the premium bundle. And you're just like, how can you make a statement that you're blazing the trail and everybody's following you when you're the one playing catch-up? I mean, the way I see it right now, Sony is really the third man in a 3-man race.
He's the low man on the totem pole.
Because basically, if you already have an Xbox 360, most likely you're just going to get a Nintendo Wii for, you know, the stupid games that you can play and have fun and nobody get upset. You don't have to worry about, you know, going aggro on anybody or gaining any points or anything. You just can have some stupid fun.
Right.
And then have your serious gaming thing on the side. Because I doubt that anybody's going to go out and buy an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3. Because I know I don't have that kind of cash. And the more and more I hear coming out every week, I get so sad, because I'm like, okay, well, how are they going to fuck up this week? Because they already messed up the pricing. They already messed up the pricing for games. They already messed up with the remote. They already messed up with the comments that they make, because they just sound so arrogant.
They just keep shoving that foot in the mouth.
Yeah, I don't know if they realize that their system is so bad that they're having to talk about it like it's the best system on the planet, hoping that people will believe it and buy into the hype.
Like wagging the dog.
Exactly.
Like, hey, we're really, really good. Actually, we really suck.
Exactly. I think that that's really what's going on. And I think that it's really going to end up, you know, biting Sony in the ass.
I think it already has, and it's just kind of chewing on it.
I think it already has, because there's a lot of feedback that's coming in. Like, I was over at IGN, and they had translated a poll that was done in this Japanese magazine called Gimaga. I'm really bad with pronouncing Japanese.
That's okay, so am I.
I'm so sorry. They were talking to Japan's development community about the PlayStation 3 and getting their ideas. And so here's what the poll came back with. 90.29% of the developers feel that the PS3 is too pricey. The developers themselves are now saying, almost all of them, that the console is too pricey to develop for.
Right.
And it's too pricey for consumers.
Okay.
These are the developers saying this. That's not really a good sign.
No, when the developers are going against the company, that's just... I think that's a red flag to go, stop. What's that sound? Everybody look, it's going down.
Please don't sue us.
Yes, but I just thought that would work. I'm sorry.
No, it works. It works. We're just saying.
Yes, don't sue us. Please.
Don't get legal on our asses.
Please.
We don't like that. There's a lot of things we don't like on our asses. Anyway, but 56% disagreed with Sony's choice of releasing the two different models. You know, the $599 and the $600.
Right.
The $499 and $599 boxes. 55% feel that the PS3 will not sell with the current line of launch titles. That was a big deal.
Right.
There's a big rumor that all those titles that Sony said were going to be launch titles are not going to be ready by November.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then Sony's in a whole lot of trouble, because why on earth would you want to go out and pay $600 for a system that, you know, you're not going to have any next-gen games with? I don't want to pay $600 for a system just to play Devil May Cry 3. I already have...
Four.
No, I'm saying Devil May Cry 3, because Devil May Cry 4 isn't ready yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I thought 4 was planned to be the launch title.
Yeah, 4 was supposed to be a launch title, but there's rumors that it's not going to be ready in November.
Douchebags.
Big douchebags.
They can't give you, you know, screenshots of Dante and his glory hotness and then not let us to...
Oh, Dante's so hot. Oh, my God.
But that is another podcast.
It really is. It really is. But 32% say they've become less confident in the platform as a whole, and 62% say they feel the system will not reach its $6 million unit sales by March of next year.
Probably not.
And I don't see how it can. I'm really debating on whether or not to get one of these systems.
I don't think I am. I was a hardcore PS, you know, player. We already know, since, you know, I've had a couple in my life.
You've had a few.
You know, and now, you know...
You're a little rough on your systems.
No, sorry. One got caught on fire, which had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
The middle one was my fault. I'll admit that. But now the third one's been working out very great. And yeah. I just got a new addition to my consoles, thanks to Ninja.
Yes.
So now...
Your console family is growing.
Yes. But I really think I might be jumping from PS2 to Nintendo.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think would happen, because, you know, it was kind of, you know, in the family, you know, you had all the Nintendo stuff. I was into the Sega, but then Sega went under, and then I jumped to PS2. My commitment to consoles has just been more wishy-washy than yours. You've been kind of a hardcore, for a while now.
You know, I pretty much...
I feel like a whore.
Don't feel like a whore. They didn't pay you anything.
Okay.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
But really, you know, it makes me so sad, because I'm really afraid that this is going to be the point where the gaming industry starts to take a bad turn. Because now it seems like, instead of coming up with the great content that keeps your consumer base coming back for more and more, it seems like Sony is really just focusing on being able to push out high profit or high dollar systems.
Right.
To try and compensate for the fact that their music division isn't making any money. You know, there's their Kinect service. There was an article out last week that basically said that, yeah, Sony's just getting their ass handed to them.
It's like, here, Sony, here is your ass. You left it.
Yeah, you left it on the chair by iTunes, because nobody uses the Kinect service because it's so limited. It's, you know, just like the original Napster service.
Oh, God.
It's just so sad because I'm very afraid that this is going to mark the point where the industry goes down, gamers stop gaming as much, they go back to doing PC games and not console games, so then you have less developers making games, so the quality of the games comes down, so then less people end up playing the consoles, and we end up back in, you know, the mid-80s when Nintendo was in the slump and nobody was playing games anymore.
Right.
And it comes crashing down. I'm very afraid that that's going to happen. You're going to have a whole lot of creative people. People who just started going to school to learn how to make these games now have degrees and not be able to get any jobs because they're not there because gamers can't afford to game anymore.
That'd be a sad, sad world.
You know, before, you know, a few podcasts back, we were talking, you know, we were speculating that, okay, if you go and you buy the $600 system and you buy a game, this was assuming that the games were $50, okay, that by the time you pay tax and get an extra controller, and probably a memory card.
Yep, got out.
And you walk
card.
Out of Best Buy, that you'd be walking out of Best Buy, $720 light. Well, if those games are coming out at $70, now we're talking $600 for the system. You're talking at least $60 for an extra controller. You're talking at least $50 for the memory unit. Okay, so now we're sitting at $720 just for an extra controller and the memory unit, okay? Then you tack on another $70 for a game. Now you're walking out of Best Buy nearly $800 light because you can't forget those taxes, people.
Well, especially if you're in a high tax
unless
place.
You're in Oregon or New Hampshire.
But even then, you're still walking out.
Even then, you're still walking out $790 light.
Yeah.
Who in their right mind is going to do that for their 14-year-old? Or 12-year-old.
Or 22-year-old.
Okay? When they have a perfectly functioning PlayStation 2 that has a bazillion games out that are cheaper. No, you continue to play that. I'm not spending that. That's a mortgage payment. That's a rent payment.
Yep, that's a rent payment.
And Sony keeps talking about, like, oh no, you'll pay it because that's what it's worth. Fuck no!
I already am feeling stressed out about this and okay? I don't think it's worth it.
We're on the same token. Let's say you want to get a Nintendo Wii. They're projecting that the Nintendo Wii is going to come someplace in between $200 and $250.
Okay.
Okay? And the games are going to come out somewhere between, I've seen estimates as low as $40, and other estimates as high as $50. So now you're talking about, if you get a Nintendo Wii, you're going to pay, we'll go on the high end of the totem pole and say $250. Okay? Let's say you pick up a game, we'll go again on the high end of the totem pole and say it's $50. Now you're at $300. Let's say you buy another Nunchaku controller, I'm going to go on high end and say that that's $40. And a memory card unit, I'm going to go on the high end and say that's $40. Okay? So now we're sitting at $380 to get the same setup as far as actual components.
So it's half the price of
it's
what
half.
The...
half.
And we're talking
with all
high
the
end.
Extras. Okay, if you're just a single person, all you need is a Nintendo Wii, you're walking out with $300.
I guess you can see who we're favoring, guys.
It's not even about favoring, it's just about marketing and price point. Sony's just completely lost touch because they've priced out the casual gamer.
See, I think Sony needs to go and go back to back in the day when they were all up in our business being the consumer, you know, and take some time out to remember why they loved us so much.
Yeah.
Like the whole revisiting of the first date type of thing and just realize they were in it for us,
you know,
not them.
There used to be a time where you were shelling out $200 and you were going home with 5 video games.
Yeah. I miss
those
days.
Now you're only going home with 2.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yes.
And it
is.
Prices out the casual gamer that, you know, all these companies keep talking about that they want to reach. At $600, you're not going to be able to bring in a casual gamer.
Nope.
You can at $200, you know, and even on the low end of the Microsoft deal, at the $300, you know, casual gamer can come up with that kind of scratch. $600 is a little bit different.
It's a little steep.
It's a little steep, so, I don't know. The more and more I see things, the more and more I just go, Sony just doesn't get it. They just don't get it. And it's a damn shame because they do make a great product. But they just, they go about marketing it and selling it in such the wrong way. And I don't know if it's just because they've been the top dog for so long with the PS3. I mean, the PS2, is still trouncing the Xbox in sales. Like, there was an article that said last week, Xbox sales in Japan, they only sold 1,165 units. of Xbox 360s, where in that same week they sold like over 150,000 DS Lites and over 60,000 PSPs. So, you know, Sony's dominant over there, and they've been so dominant in the U.S. market because the PlayStation 2 is still outselling the Xbox 360. And the Xbox 360 is the next-gen console. But I think that's about to change. I think Sony's going to find there are going to be a whole lot of people that don't upgrade.
Yep, because I know at this point I'm not.
And they're going to have to revamp, and they're already taking a huge loss on the system to begin with. I think that they're really going to be in trouble.
We think, Sony, you're fucked.
Yeah, Sony, you fucked up.
And you don't get any protection. No. Not getting any lube. It's going to be a quick penetration, so grin and bear it.
Yeah, you better get to the clinic quick and get checked out because something is wrong. You have what I like to call the anal leakage, and that's not good.
No, because it's your butt, and it leaks.
That's not good.
And people don't want to be around people who have anal butt leak.
Yeah, nobody wants to be around stinky butt.
No, I know, I don't.
That's not fun. You can't go to the club with stinky butt.
Well, you can, but don't expect anybody hot to be all up in your business.
You don't want stinky butt sitting in your car.
Nope.
Because then you got stinky car.
Yeah, no one wants a stinky car.
It's a pain, it really is. But anyway. Anyway, that's all I got. The podcast was going to be a little bit longer, but we got a couple of members missing because one's still sleeping. He partied a little too hard last night.
He partied far harder than anyone has partied before.
Yeah, he's still sleeping on the couch there. I think he's still in his clothes, too.
I don't think he changed.
He managed to make it to the pajamas.
I don't think he...
But who knows? He might be around for the next one. But that's it. Yeah. That's the end. That's all the news that's fit to print or talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
So, with that, I'm going to say you need to keep visiting us on the website. The website is www.electricsisterhood.com, the home of the best anime and girl gaming podcast ever.
Woo!
Woo-hoo! We're showing up in Google now, so if you can't remember www.electricsisterhood.com, just Google Electric Sisterhood, and we'll pop up.
Click a bing! Here we are. Come click on us. Read our shit.
Click on the link. You know you want to. You know you want to. And you can also contact us via our toll-free number. You can leave us a message. Tell us how much you love the podcast. Tell us that you think that we're crazy. Tell us that you think that we're wrong.
Just tell us you think.
Yeah. That's mostly what we really need to know. That there are people still out there capable of independent
thought.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's getting kind of rare these days.
Yeah. Lots of really sheep is. And very little shepherds.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. And that number is 1-888-333-8985. We have an announcement that hopefully we will be announcing on the next podcast. And that we'll be adding a new feature to the website. And we think you're going to like it. We hope you're going to like it. Lord, we hope you're going to like it. We'll talk about that more in the next podcast. But until then, this podcast toast.
This podcast is toast.
Okay, now what are we going to do with the toast?
See, we had grits this morning. I don't even think I want any toast.
I know. Those grits are so good.
I'm so full.
You know, but you know, if I was going to do something with toast, you know what I'd want to do?
No, what?
Because I haven't done it in so long.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Put the peanut butter on the toast.
Ah, peanut butter. Yes. I think that sounds like a good idea. I can't have peanut butter, but
if you could.
I would definitely smear some Jiffy.
Because there's nothing like getting some ooey gooey hot peanut butter on some toast.
But see, it wouldn't be hot. It'd be hot because of the bread.
Yeah, and then it gets all to the roof of your mouth and you gotta kind of work it around with your tongue.
That's another podcast, Ninja.
Yeah, that is totally another podcast. But for now, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out!
And we're out.